LPD 1041.
Signal 10 assistance.
Inside the Squad, presented by the Lafayette Police Department. To serve and protect is not just a motto, it's our mission.
Sending another unit.
Step it up.
Welcome back. Inside the Squad, this episode, we'll have Chief Animal Control Officer Sarah Gomes joining us to talk about our animal control unit and all that they do. Before we start on that, Sarah, give us a little rundown of how long you've been here, what brought you here, and kind of just a background on what you do.
Okay. So I grew up in West Point, just outside of Lafayette. I've always been involved with animals, always had animals. Started off working on farms, and then I kind of started working with vets and was a vet assistant for a couple of different vets in town and outside of town. And then I actually had a friend that was a fireman send me the email that got sent out about the open position, and he was just like, hey, I think you'd be a good fit for this job. And I applied and I got it. I've been here, April will be 4 years for me, so still kind of young in my career, but really like it and been through.
So you started as just a typical animal control officer.
Yes.
And then here this year you took over the chief animal control officer. So
yes.
Kind of explain what are the differences in those two roles?
So the animal control officer, they kind of are like patrol basically. So out on the streets, handle calls every day, handle you know, every situation by themselves. Animal control is a little different than most departments. We handle the call from the beginning to the very end. So if it's a cruelty call, you know, we do the check well-being. We do the looking into things, seeing if the owner's doing what they're supposed to be doing, moving through. If we have to take it to the prosecutor's office, we do that. Obviously, with different departments, things kind of get handed off maybe to detectives or special crimes units, things like that. Most of the time, the animal control officer handles it from start to finish. The chief, my position, I do all that as well. I'm out on the road every day. I also handle, you know, if we get complaints or anything like that, or citizens want to talk to me specifically about an issue or how they can fix things or enact change, I speak with them about that. I work with command staff at the police department, and also, you know, I work with our city attorney to work on different ordinances and things like that. Also work with people in the county to work on getting ordinances changed and enacted as well.
Sounds like a full plate.
Right. Yeah. So animal control is under the Lafayette Police Department. Actually, Lieutenant Harmon oversees you guys.
Yes.
So what's the relation between animal control and law enforcement?
So we're kind of a hybrid. You know, we do a lot of things that aren't law enforcement, but at the end of the day, we are law enforcement. We enforce ordinances, we enforce state laws. We work very closely with the police department. I think we have a great relationship with them, great relationship with the guys out on the street. They can rely on us, we can rely on them. If we need assistance, they're always willing to help us with that. You know, we deal with angry people. There's a lot of emotion tied to animals and pets, and so those things can go 0 to 100 really quick. So if we need assistance, the officers on the street are always happy to help us with that.
So if there's an animal involved, a police officer would typically call ACO?
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes they get on calls and they notice, hey, something's not right with that side of it, with the animal side, the pet side, and they call us and we step in and help with that when we can.
So being that you guys wear a uniform and a vest and the badge and you guys have the belt, do you have citizens that have expectations that you enforce laws that you can't sometimes when you're on calls? Have you guys ever ran into that?
Occasionally. I think people are more shocked that we have the vest than anything else. We always get the, oh, what's the dog going to do, shoot you type of
right.
thing. And it's not to protect me from the dog. It's to protect me from the angry owner. If neighbors get in a dispute amongst each other, we get caught in the middle of that sometimes. You know, everybody has a pet. Criminals, good people, everybody has a pet. So
right.
we need to be able to be protected from that.
Yeah. So it really is a dangerous job. Do you have one of your, not necessarily favorite stories, but does a story speak out to you in terms of?
I've dealt with a cat hoarder that basically threatened that if we came to take his cats, that he'd shoot anybody that walked on his yard. So again, a lot of emotion tied to that. And that was we were talking to him through the door. He wouldn't open the door. He wouldn't let us check on his cats, nothing like that. And, you know, he just made the threat that if you come back to take my cats, I'll shoot you, essentially. So, yeah.
So how did that end?
We ended up actually, we kind of got him talked down off of that, and we've worked with him over the years and helped him with his cats. And we're not here to take everybody's pets. I think sometimes people get hung up on the, oh, you're just a dog catcher stigma, but we're a lot more than that. I would much rather your pet stay in your home with you if it's safe. Right. And you can handle what that pet needs. Some people can't do that, though, and they refuse to change. They refuse to do the simple things we ask them to do in order to allow that pet to stay in their home. And when we get to that point, I'm okay stepping in and removing that animal from a dangerous situation. So,
yeah.
And that was something I was going to ask you is, what is that process? I think sometimes there's that perception that if animal control gets called, oh my gosh, I'm losing my pet. Like, I can't let him in. I can't cooperate with
them. I tell people that all the time. When I knock on the door and they answer it, it's one of those, they peek around the door and then they close it halfway again. I'm like, I'm not here to take your dog. Yeah. I'm not here to take your cats. Like, just, so what we normally do is we have a conversation with them, explain to them what the, basically why we're here. It's usually a neighbor calls, a family member calls, they're concerned about how the pet's being cared for. And I'll explain that to them. I'll be fairly blunt with people just because if I beat around the bush, I don't want them to think I'm trying to deceive them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lie to you. I'll tell you why I'm here. And if we can work with that owner, usually we'll give them a couple of weeks to get the animal to the vet. If they make that effort, hey, I took my dog to the vet. Here's the receipt. Here's the medicine they gave me. Okay, great. Then we'll do a follow-up, you know, basically once a week until the pet's basically on the mend and good to go. And then it's kind of, we'll keep those houses on our radar. And if we feel the need to do kind of just a random check well-being, we'll do that. If the owner refuses to do that, refuses to comply with what we've asked them to do, then we can take steps to remove that pet from the home. But 9 times out of 10, we don't just jump the gun and take the dog or the cat or lizard, whatever it is. You know, we really make an effort to keep the dogs and cats and in their home where they're at.
In the unlikely event that you do have to confiscate a pet, mm-hmm. What happens? What's that process?
So if the owner is willing and cooperates in that point, you know, we'll just seize the animal. We have had to get warrants to remove dogs from homes where the owner has refused to open the door, anything like that, relinquish the pet. We're not just going to jump your fence and take your dog. We're not going to do that. But the animal goes to Almost Home Humane Society or goes to Purdue Small Animal Hospital if it needs vet care immediately. Then it's placed on protective custody. The owner has the right to pay a bond in order to retain ownership of that animal throughout the process. If they don't pay that bond, they lose ownership rights, but that does not negate charges that are going against them. It essentially just says, hey, if we get to the end of this and you're found not guilty, you can get your pet back, type of thing. If they don't pay that, they lose their ownership rights. The animal becomes property of the Humane Society, and it's you know, if it can be rehabilitated and adopted out after that, that's what happens. And that's what we always strive for.
And when you say charges, are you speaking like charges of like failing to take care of the pet, failing to feed it, or like what kind of charges?
Yeah. So state charges normally, I would say our biggest ones are abandonment and neglect and cruelty. Those are the three mm-hmm. biggest ones we go for. There's obviously many other charges we can go with, but those are our three, I would say our top three charges that we usually deal with almost on a daily basis. Mm.
Do you mostly get those with dogs or cats or what type of animal?
I think dogs are more common. We do have an occasional, cats do get abandoned quite a lot. That's pretty common. Knock on wood, exotic pets don't seem to fall into that category. I think there's a lot of the times there's a lot more money wrapped up in those animals and people understand that. But most of the time it is dogs.
Yeah, so you're not just dealing with like random monkeys?
No, unfortunately not. That would be pretty cool from time to time.
So, like, are you, I'm just curious. Are you like, are you guys trained to deal with like snakes, spiders, all those crazy creatures that I would never want in my house that some people do?
Yeah. Yeah. So we go through training through Code 3 Associates, and they have three different modules. But yeah, we one of those modules covers exotic animals and handling and stuff like that. So, and there's also stuff through like HSUS that we watch, and a lot of it's kind of learn on the go type of thing. But I have, people I can call, be like, hey, I'm getting ready to go deal with this weird lizard of some kind. What's the best way to handle it? I dealt with an iguana a few months ago. I had to call a friend, like, what's the best route to handle this thing? You know, and he said, control the tail. The tail will get you. So, okay.
Like swiping?
Yeah, because they'll whip their tail around. And then they kind of just get loose from you type of thing. So, yeah. Kind of wild.
So we have a variety of pets, I assume, in the city of Lafayette that we probably don't even know about.
It's crazy what people don't know what their neighbor has. Right. shortly after I started, we had a I believe he was a Purdue student. He was gone. He left because of COVID. He had a friend taking care of all of his reptiles and critters, I guess. And one of his snakes actually got out of his house, and it was a ball python.
Oh my goodness.
The neighbors were like, hey, his snake's in the backyard. And so we went, and then it kind of turned into a whole lot. But there was a lot of very random animals in that person's house. And he came back, took care of it all. It never turned into anything. All the animals were healthy. You know, it never divulged into anything else. And he was a good owner. It was just kind of a freak accident. But one was pretty cool.
For animals like that where you can't take to Almost Home, what do you do with them?
Everything goes to Almost Home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can handle everything. If it is a weird animal that they're not used to dealing with, there's a couple of vets in town that have volunteered to take things, or at least guide them and tell them, okay, this is what that animal needs for now. Mm-hmm. Normal strays are only on a 5-day hold when they go to the shelter. So after the, basically on the 6th day, it becomes property of the Humane Society, and they can adopt it out, transfer it to another rescue, you know, get it to a person that's better equipped to handle something like that.
So before the 6 days are up, the owner has the opportunity to go collect their animal?
Yes, to reclaim their pet, and we urge people to do that. It's even if you're having money problems, please just call the shelter and talk to them. A lot of the time, okay, come get your dog, come get your cat. Do not let that deter you from getting your pet picked up. Yeah. There's ways around that for sure.
Right. So you brought up the dog catcher stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that's what I thought of you guys, like, before I really knew what animal control did.
Yeah.
Can you go over the history of that and why there's such a stereotype with animal
control? Yeah, so it kind of came from in the past, before sterilizing animals was really pushed hard on. That's the majority of what animal control did. They literally just went around, rounded up stray dogs. It was also a form of rabies control to keep rabies from spreading back. I don't want to say in the olden days, but I don't know how else to describe it. But it was a form of rabies control, essentially. If the dogs aren't out there on the street, they can't spread it type of thing. And I think the end result for those dogs was probably not great. That's when high kill numbers were more, you know, normal, I guess. But nowadays, most shelters are no kill. They are here in town. Knock on wood, we're not... it's not really a high intake city. We do take in a lot of animals, but we're not like some cities in like California or New York or Atlanta where there's just a lot more volume of animals. But that's kind of where the dog catcher thing started. And then it formed into law enforcement. And not every animal control department is law enforcement. Some of them are, unfortunately, still, they just round up strays and they take them to the shelter. We are lucky enough that that's not what we do. I mean, we do that, but that does not encompass everything that we are. So,
right.
But you have, how many animal control officers do we have here in the city of Lafayette?
We have 4, including myself.
And has that been about the same number that over the course of the years that we've?
Yeah, it's been 4 for a long time. I think it's been a pretty good number. As the city continues to grow, I think we'll have to add an officer or two to help with that. But right now it's a pretty good number.
And are you all driving individual trucks, different shifts?
Yeah, so our trucks are basically our office, mobile office. We each have our own vehicle. We do have take-home vehicles because we have on-call rotations to help assist the police department overnight fire, EMS, those sort of things. But yeah, we all four have our own vehicles, and we patrol and respond to calls separately, and at times we'll go together as well.
And what's the shift?
So basically Monday through Friday, we have coverage from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays, we have coverage from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then in those gap hours where there's not someone on duty, someone is on call. So, you know, technically speaking, 24/7, you can have an animal control officer, but we're not going to come out in the middle of the night to respond to a barking dog call. You know, that's more of urgent matters, dogs hit by cars, when the police department needs assistance, when EMS or fire needs assistance with something in order to do the rest of their job, what they're there for.
Yeah. Okay.
So
what's your favorite part of the job? What do you like most?
I think is I don't know, tacky as it, I love getting pets back to their home. I mean, the good pet owners are elated when you call them or knock on the door and you're like, hey, I just picked up Rocco running loose down the street. And they're like, oh my God, thank you so much. You know, like that's great. I've had people run up to me crying and hugging me.
Yeah.
People try to pay us. It's like, no, like it's my job. That's why I do this job. Mm-hmm. And I love educating people. There's a lot of, you know, misconceptions about things. A lot of people don't understand why it's so important to get your pet spayed or neutered. And that does not just apply to dogs. That applies to cats to help with overpopulation. But, yeah, I really enjoy educating people about things like that.
Yeah. So do you find, like, are most dogs chipped? I mean, isn't that kind of the...
The recommendation?
It's definitely the recommendation. We prefer it. Any animal that goes to the shelter has to be microchipped before they leave.
Oh, okay.
So they cannot leave without being microchipped. And all it is it's a little grain of rice, goes usually between the dog's shoulder blades. And all it does is carry your information. It's no different than the tag that everybody used to put on their dog's collars. A lot of people think it's a tracking device or, you know, like, I don't want the government to know where I'm at. It just has your phone number on it. Like, that's all it is. It doesn't track your dog. They have tracking tags, but that's not what a microchip does. It's no different than the old metal tag we all used to put on our dog collars.
Hmm.
And we have the ability to scan for microchips, and we can look that stuff up in our truck before the dog even goes anywhere. I mean, we'll 9 times out of 10, we'll put the dog in our truck and then sit there, type in the microchip number, and if we can get the dog home right then, that's what we do.
Hmm.
So
makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's go the opposite of your favorite part of the job. What's the most difficult part of your job?
I honestly think the most difficult part of my job is two things, I guess. There's a lot of people that have pets that don't actually care about them. I mean, I'll come there and, hey, this needs fixed, or that, like, you can't leave your dog outside. It's negative 20 degrees outside, or it's 115 degrees outside. And they are like, he's a dog, he's fine, he's outside. And it's frustrating because that dog, especially when the dog is, dogs are so forgiving, you know, and I keep bringing it all back to dogs. This happens to animals of all kind, but obviously dogs are what we deal more with. But dealing with people, and it's just like talking to a wall. They don't want to hear what you have to say. All law enforcement officers deal with that day in and day out. We're no different. But and seeing the people that abandonments hit hard because you just closed the door and walked out and left them there. That's hard. Yeah. That does sometimes irreversible damage to that animal. And I've talked to plenty of owners and they just don't care. They don't care that they're like, oh, well, I couldn't take them with me, so what was I supposed to do?
Jeez.
So that part's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Pretty tough.
Yeah.
Am I sort of tearing up just thinking about it? I could never
it's
do your job.
It's hard to walk into a home and it's trashed, and you can tell that because some people, you know, they know they're getting evicted, so they'll leave a week or two early to basically like disappear. Essentially, you know, that animal's in there for 2 weeks by itself, with if they're lucky, the toilet to drink out of.
Right.
So, and the economy's had a huge impact on that. The economy has 100% affected pet ownership in this town specifically. There's a lot of people that can't afford to feed their animals every week. There are resources in this community to help people. You can get dog food at the food pantries. You can get dog food at most of the shelters in town. You might have to, you know, show them proof of ownership or show them that your dog is spayed or neutered or whatever, but there's resources for that. So I get frustrated with that because there's no excuse for that.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
People get money for all sorts of things. You could find $20 to scrape up to get a bag of dog food. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to feed your dog an $80 bag of dog food. No. He just needs dog food. If that's where you're at in life, he just needs dog food.
Right.
Sure.
And what leads to those abandonment calls? Do neighbors see animals just alone?
Neighbors, we have a lot of landlords that call in, you know, when they go to change the locks, there's dogs inside or cats inside, mm-hmm. turtles, whatever. But yeah, it's usually neighbors or landlords that call us and report that stuff. So
you touched on it a little bit ago, switching gears here. Technology wise for you guys, you talked mm-hmm. about being able to look up a chip while you're in the truck. You guys also wear body cameras?
We do. Yep.
Carry tasers?
Yep. We carry tasers. We're taser and ass certified. So we carry both of those. We have the body cams. We carry radios. We are in direct contact with the same dispatch that the police department is with. We're under the police department. We have chip scanners. We're on the same CAD system. So we're completely intertwined with the police department.
Why does ACO need a taser?
In my opinion, for the same reason that we need to wear the vest to protect ourselves. You know, you can also use a taser on an aggressive dog if you get to that point. So there's in the taser training, they talk about how to tase a dog and do it with as little harm as possible to that animal. It affects the dog the same way it affects a human. It's a 5-second burst, and hopefully you can either get the animal controlled or generally they run away from you because they're scared.
Right.
But yeah, it gets them away from you and gets you safe.
So do you see any connection between aggressive owners and aggressive pets?
Yeah, at times. I mean, I know specific individuals in this town that have trained their dogs to be aggressive on purpose.
Wow.
I can't say why they're doing that. I have assumptions on why they're making them that way, but I've had them openly admit that to me. And it not all the time. I mean, you can have a person that's totally irate, angry, mad all the time, and they have the sweetest dog you've ever seen in your life, you know? So, sure. But animals are a product of their environment. So no different than anything.
Well, I bring that up because you mentioned the link before, mm-hmm. which is, you know, a link between animal aggression and family violence.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that and what the link is?
Yeah, so that's something that the FBI even recognizes, is there's a link between abuse towards animals and abuse towards generally dependents in the home or women in the home. And there's a lot of links between people who will use pets against other people in the homes. So let's say the wife wants to leave, but the husband has threatened to harm the dog in some way, that will make her stay. That's a form of abuse. Mental abuse, it's a form of domestic abuse. And there is a very, very strong correlation between the two. If there's an animal being abused in the home, there's a strong chance that there's other people being abused in the home as well. And it's not always women and children. Men are victims of abuse as well. Elderly people are victims of abuse, but I think we've all probably heard that in all the crime dramas that we watch and the true crime podcasts we listen to, where a lot of times it started with abuse towards animals and then it escalates to abuse towards humans.
Right.
So it's been something that through enough cases that law enforcement, the FBI and other entities have said that, yes, if there's an animal being abused in the home, very strong chance that there are other people in the home being abused.
And are you trained on that? If you see an abused animal, do you typically look at the surroundings and family and see if there's anything else going
Yeah,
on?
We try to take note of kind of how the, you know, the environment is in the home, what kind of feel. And some people are just nervous to be around law enforcement, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But if we ever get an inkling or an off-putting feeling, we will at least reach out to the detectives or shift command or something, and just be like, hey, I have a really weird feeling about this. And we could be wrong, but I would rather report it and be wrong than sure. ignore it. And 2 weeks later, something comes out and I'm like, I was just there and I missed that, or I ignored that. And I've told my officers, do not overlook those things. We, you know, we have to report those things when we see them. Right. So there was a case a few years ago here in Lafayette. It started off as a rabbit hoarding case. I did not personally work on this case. My former chief did. But it started off with rabbit hoarding. I believe this individual had upwards of 80 rabbits in his home.
Oh, my God.
And as they're in there removing rabbits, they found cameras in the bathroom. And this individual had small children in the home. And there was cameras, I believe, near the toilet and in the shower. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the link. Hoarding is a mental disorder. It's been classified as that. But, you know, he's hoarding all these rabbits. And obviously kids love rabbits, you know. What kid doesn't love rabbits? And then he has small children in the home who have friends over, and there's cameras in the bathroom.
Jeez.
And it's hard to ignore that there's a very serious animal problem, and there's also a very serious, you know, there's another very serious issue going on inside that home. And had we not gotten the call about those rabbits, how long would that have went on for? Right. The cameras in that bathroom.
So is that a case where you guys went in for the rabbits and you purposely looked around for anything else, or did you just happen?
It's a little bit of both. We do kind of like keep our eyes peeled for things, but we don't snoop. You know, you're not allowed to do that, Fourth Amendment stuff. But I believe what happened is there was actually a rabbit behind a toilet. And when the officer reached down to get the rabbit, he saw the camera. And it was just one right place at the right time kind of thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So it's, you know, definitely one of those more twisted ones. Knock on wood, that doesn't happen all the time here. But it kind of goes back to, again, you don't know what's in your neighbor's house. You know, right. Nobody even knew that guy had 80 rabbits in his house. And then it turned into that.
Right.
And I know that that Josh actually put together a presentation for some kind of training they were doing in Ohio for that. Like, they had him speak on that because of, again, the hoarding case turned into a much bigger problem. And I don't know what all got tied in with those cameras, but, you know, it definitely was a good, perfect example of that link. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, it makes you wonder what else was going on in that home.
Yeah.
But.
Right.
Mm. I've got a stereotype question.
Okay.
Pit bulls.
Yep.
So I think the general consensus is you see a pit bull, you get out of the way, you run, you stay away from it.
Yeah.
What's been your experience dealing with pit bulls? Is that stereotype fair?
Kind Am of I allowed to give that? My breed stereotype? No. I think pit bulls have been slightly victimized due to a certain demographic of people. I have a pit bull myself that I rescued from the shelter. He is the sweetest dog I've ever met in my life. Like, this dog deserves the world, you know? Do we handle aggressive ones? 100%. But a lot of it is how they're raised. It's how they're bred. If you breed two aggressive dogs, there's a high chance you're going to get a litter of aggressive puppies, you know? That it's certain things are hereditary. Mm-hmm. I really don't like to lump them all in that category, but I know that's how most people feel. They Right. see a pit bull and they run. They see a pit bull, when they call it into dispatch, they say it's aggressive, whether they know it's aggressive or Right. not. And we get there and the dog's usually like, you hand him a treat and he's like, hey, you're my best friend now. Yeah. Like, I'll get in the truck. You don't even have to load me. I'll do it myself. Yeah. Like, I've had worse experiences with other breeds than I have with pit bulls.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. So where does this stereotype come from then? Because, like, I have a ton of friends who have pit bulls, and yeah. they have issues renting because the yeah. insurance won't cover it.
Yeah, so there's insurance companies won't cover it. There's several apartment complexes in town that have breed restrictions. Lafayette as a city does not have any breed restrictions. I know out in Colorado, they banned pit bulls in Denver. They've since lifted that. But unfortunately, when dog bites do make the news, it's these bigger bully breeds. Why? Because they're bigger, stronger animals. They can do a lot of damage if it gets to that point. How many friends do you know that have, you know, Malteses and Shih Tzus and Yorkies and Chihuahuas, and they run up and they grab your pant leg every time you walk in the friend's house.
Just tear everything up. Yeah.
But nobody cares because that dog's not going to do anything,
right.
You know. But if a pit bull does that, or a bully type breed of any kind, mastiffs, bull terriers, staffies, people lose their minds because that dog can do, I mean, I'll admit that dog can do a lot worse damage than the Yorkie can do.
No.
But I think, you know, again, statistically speaking, if you look it up, no, smaller breeds bite more. But if you look at legit injury and damage done, obviously the bullies are going to take that all day long.
Yeah.
They don't have locking jaws. They don't have some of that other weird stuff you hear. But again, they're a product of their environment. They won't thrive in an environment that's not healthy and forgiving to them either. So,
poor pit bulls.
Kind of just my opinion, my little soapbox. And I was never like, I didn't love the breed before I started this job, but I was just indifferent to them. You know, it's just, I worked at plenty of vet clinics, so I saw them all the time anyway. Yeah. But then when you're in this job and that's truly 75 to 80% of the breeds we take in, they are bully breeds. So you grow to love them because you pick up way more good ones than you do bad ones. I mean, by far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other breeds, everyone I pick up, I dislike because they're not friendly dogs, but they get away with it. They get that pass because they're not a pit bull.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, dogs have long, curly fur. Like, they can be the meanest dogs ever, but I'm like, oh.
Right, yeah.
Tutties.
Yeah, when the little dog across the street is yapping and at the end of his leash, it's like, oh, my God, that's so annoying. But if a person's pit bull has a bad day and he's lunging at the end of his leash,
right,
you know, all hell breaks loose, yeah. And that's not always fair. They have bad days, too.
Right.
We all have bad days, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into questions from viewers, what can the public do? Is there advice you can give to the public to, when they're dealing with pets or when they need animal control? What kind of advice do you have for the public in those regards?
Yeah. So my biggest thing is if you think something's wrong, just call in and report it. Best case scenario, we go there, everything's fine, taken care of, no big deal. And if people want follow-ups, like if the person that reports it, well, like, can you let me know? Depending on what goes on once we initiate that call, we can kind of give it, hey, everything's fine in there, all good. We obviously can't give away everything, but, you know, I animals can't speak. So if you think something's wrong, just report it and we'll take it from there. And the other thing is, too, if you, our ordinances are posted online on the Muni Code website. That gives a lot of good information. And if they read through those and they still have questions, call into dispatch. We'll talk to you. We'll talk you through things. We have resources for people. We work really well with several different vet clinics in town. We work with different Facebook pages in town, the Lost and Found Facebook page. Like, we're all pretty well intertwined. We all keep in communication with each other. So if a problem starts over here, we usually all kind of get kept in the loop and try to help that individual or put someone's mind at ease if we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So usually at the end of every podcast, we randomly draw some questions from our viewers that they send in. But this time I asked our Facebook and Instagram community for specific animal control questions.
Okay.
And they really turned out. We have 11 for
awesome.
You, Zara.
Okay.
Pressure's on.
Let's see what okay. we can do.
Rapid fire. Here right. we go. Is there still a net gun?
Yes.
It's not
and
a very
what
useful.
Is a net gun? It literally shoots out a net. It's a rifle converted to shoot a net. We're trained on it. However, it's not very useful. It's very clunky. It's loud. There's if the wind's blowing too hard, it's not great. I think it's been successfully used one time to catch a chihuahua.
Okay. So if like a dog is running down the street, you guys are running behind him, bam, net.
Yeah. And it would probably freak half the community out because it's loud. It's loud. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Number two is not a question, but I'll read it to you because I think it matters. There's okay. nobody better for the job than Sarah. We're all lucky to have her. So I think that's probably speaks mm-hmm. volume to the job you do and the relationship you establish with your fellow officers. So that's always good to have that kind of feedback. The next question, do you have something on that, okay?
No, I was going to say we actually got quite a few of those, but I only could include one. So,
well, I'm glad to hear
thanks
that.
Thanks for all you do. Yeah.
If you could change anything about the profession, what would it be?
I would like to see at least my department specifically, and I would love for animal control to just be law enforcement everywhere. That would be fantastic. That would help. I would like to see in the future my department just move more towards being able to act immediately on some things as far as serious offenses. And we're slowly moving towards that. I have a police department that's very willing to work with me, and they care about what we do. So I look forward to seeing what we can get to in the future. But yeah, just more law enforcement authority when we can move to that point.
Right on. Next up. How much training does a new ACO go through?
So we do 3 months ride along, basically, with myself and one of the other officers. 3 months is kind of the starting point. You know, if an individual needs a little longer or whatever, we'll go. And then they're out on their own, but obviously I'm here. They call, mm-hmm. they ask questions. Great. I respond to calls with them. So does the other officer. We have two newbies right now. So that's why I keep saying the other officer, because we were kind of operating like a half staff. But we're almost all the way up to four. So I'm happy about that. And then, like I said earlier, we do in-person training through Code 3 Associates, and they do that all over the country. We also take two classes online through the National Animal Control Association, and that gets us certified as animal cruelty. Those two things combined get us certified as animal cruelty investigators. So,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Along with TASER, ASP, qualifying with other things. But yeah.
Net gun.
The net gun. The lucky net gun.
You love that net gun.
I'll let you hold it one time. And it weighs as half as much as you. This thing's huge.
I think I've seen it one time. It's been years since I've seen it, I think. How often do you find yourself in high-risk situations?
Pretty frequently, whether it's due to the people we're dealing with or the animals we're dealing with. Dogs are naturally protective of their home. I don't hold that against them, but they don't, you know, there's dogs that don't want us on their property. But, buddy, I got to get to that door and knock on the door so that you can hopefully stay here. So, but you know, again, with the people, a lot of emotion tied to pets, and I don't take that away from anybody, but we've come pretty close to some pretty nasty situations several times. So, I mean, it's a weekly thing.
What's the most unique call you've responded to?
Probably the snake house, because there was snakes, crabs, lizards.
I'm out.
Nope. Stuff that Justin doesn't like.
There's not enough money in the world to get me to go in that house. I'm telling you that much right now.
We had them in pillowcases in the back of the truck.
Nope.
Should have called you.
Nope. Nope. I do dogs and that's about it. Anything else, I'm out.
Yeah, that one was pretty cool, though.
If a dog is barking in my neighbor's house, what can I do?
Okay, that's a good one, because we get those calls all the time. We do have nuisance barking in Lafayette. It is when the dog is barking for 20 minutes consecutively or longer. If your neighbor's dog barks for 3 or 4 minutes and then takes a 10-minute break, that is not nuisance barking. That dog is allowed to make some form of noise. But you can call and report it. We'll come. Usually what we do is we sit and listen to make sure there's actually active barking going on. Sometimes we get there and the dog's already been let inside. If it is something that turns into nuisance barking, we go try to make contact with the owner if they're home. Unfortunately, moving into spring and summer, people are going to leave their dogs out when they're at work. But I usually just tell them, like, hey, bring your dog inside for 15, 20 minutes, give your neighbor's ear a break, and then he can go back outside. But yeah, that is something we can, but you have to call and report it. If you can get video of it happening where it's like repeatedly happening, that's helpful for us as well.
Is it okay for me to call about a dog in a car?
It is. So it's illegal to leave a dog in a vehicle when leaving it there puts the dog's health at risk. So coming into summer, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. You see a dog in a car, you should call. And let us handle it after that. I don't want people throwing bricks through car windows, but you have the right to do that to protect that animal.
Sure.
And obviously, we'll help handle that situation. Obviously, the police department would get involved at that point as well. But yeah, definitely call about those things. That dogs can suffer from heat stroke in a very short amount of time locked in a hot car. It's way hotter inside that car than it is outside. So if it's 95 degrees outside, it's well over 100 degrees inside that car. not enough airflow, humid, whatever, it can go from bad to worse very quickly.
Right. Can you have chickens in the city?
You cannot. Oh. And that is not something that, like, we harp on. If you want chickens to be able to have them in town, talk to your local representative and see what you can get done and voice your opinion that you want chickens. You can't own them in West Lafayette. I do know that.
Really?
But we don't allow that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, then.
Yeah.
I might be getting myself a chicken.
I'll just start totally bringing them all to your backyard. Here you go. You said you wanted a chicken.
How should I deal with feral cats that hang around my street?
That's another good one. Lafayette does have a pretty big feral cat population. We cannot chase cats. That's something that just does not happen. They can go places we can't reach, we can't fit through, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can trap them. If the cat does have an ear tip, so the tip of their ear's been cut off, that cat will get released because that's a working cat. That cat's already been fixed. It's been given shots. So it's not, while you might consider it a nuisance, that cat's not going to be able to reproduce. And that's the biggest goal, is to cut the population down. So that cat would be released. But anything else, you can rent traps from Almost Home Humane Society. I believe the cost is like $20 or $25. And then when you return the trap, you get your money back. Okay. ACOs don't have traps to loan out. We don't have the budget to purchase thousands of traps to just hand out to people. But we appreciate when the public's willing to help trap them, because it's just another one of those, we can't be everything everywhere at once.
Right.
So.
Last question. How many calls approximately do you receive per day?
I would say we probably sit around 20 to 30, not per officer, like just in general through the winter right now. Spring and summer and fall, we're definitely more busy. But it can be 20 calls per officer. I think our record is like 19 calls. And again, we're only 8-hour shifts, so we're not on 12s like the police side is, but yeah.
I'm actually bringing up stats about that.
Okay.
So, okay, I don't have daily calls, but I do have yearly calls.
Yeah.
In 2023, there were 3,676 calls.
Yeah.
And in 2013, there were 2,837.
Bigger population, more calls, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many of those are typically bite calls?
We handle a lot of bite calls, whether it's dog on dog, dog cat, dog human, whatever. I would say maybe like 25-30% are probably bite calls, roughly. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, we get a lot of bite calls. And sometimes it's even just like, you know, the family dog nipped the kid or bit the husband or whatever, but
yeah. Do you see more calls at a certain time frame?
Yeah, so season? Oddly enough, like around holidays when there's, you know, people have guests over, family comes over, all these people the dog's not used to. But yeah, holidays, and then honestly, summer's just go, 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 nonstop pretty much for us. Just like, it's nice, kids aren't in school. Hmm. But yeah, usually holidays and summer.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was the last question. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, anything before we go off here?
Just again, you know, if people have questions, concerns, whatever, just always be sure to call in, and we can't be everywhere at once. If people aren't reporting it, we can't help. And then the other thing I'd just like to say is we have a low cost spay and neuter clinic in town again. It's Four Precious Paws. It's off of McCarty Lane across from the old Lafayette 7. Absolutely amazing women run that. They are good people. They care about this community. They want to help people. They're another one that, you know, if you came to the door begging for help, they would help you. I mean, I cannot say enough how great they are. And then we're excited the new Humane Societies should be opened up.
Yeah.
In a few more months, I think maybe July or August, and that's going to be Lafayette, West Lafayette, and county will all be going to the same shelter. So there won't be any more county going here, we're going here. Everybody's going to come to the same shelter. It's located over there off of 52. And we're really looking forward to that and just continuing to work with the community and try to help with population problems and overpopulation in shelters. Again, spay and neuter your pet. Yeah. Can't push that enough, but yeah, you don't need to breed your dog because she's cute and you think she'd have great puppies. You don't need to do that. So.
Oh, well, again, we appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you.
Hopefully this episode gave a lot of information to those who still follow the dog catcher stereotype.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, provide a lot of good content today, a lot of valuable information for people to listen to. So thank you for your time. Thank you for what you do and the animal control unit. And you guys are just as busy as anybody else, and you guys do a phenomenal job. So
I appreciate the opportunity to be on the platform and talk about it.
Good.
Yeah, well, we're going to have you back.
Wonderful.
So for all of our viewers and listeners, be sure to follow us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Nextdoor. If you have any questions or any topics you'd like us to cover of the podcast, please email insidethesquad@lafayette.in.com.
Yep. A couple more podcasts we're getting ready to film. I think we're working on with Dispatch and maybe another true crime episode, so stay tuned for those. Again, thanks for joining us today for our Animal Control Podcast. For now, Inside the Squad is 1042.